Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. I'd like to finish up tonight where I started in last Sunday evening. What's right about the church? I'm glad there are some things right about the church tonight. Matthew 16.
We'll start reading verse number 13. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's a good Bible question, isn't it? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated tonight. We've had the thought last Sunday evening where Jesus made this statement that upon this rock I'll build my church. We must be reminded tonight that it is the Lord's church. So that makes it a scriptural church, a powerful church. The church simply means the called out ones. The church has never been intended to look like the world. I know I'm old-fashioned in what I believe tonight, but I think I've got Bible to back up what I believe.
I don't believe that the church has never been intended to turn to the world to take care of the church. I think God's people ought to take care of the church. I think that God's people ought to be different than what this old world is tonight. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, and here we talked about last week that the church has been so criticized. We hear a lot about, well, those hypocrites that are there. I'd go if it wasn't for hypocrites. Well, people's always going to be people. And then the church has not only been criticized, but the church has been generalized. Well, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to feel churchy. We've seen slogans, people, building a church. I've seen one slogan one time, we're building a church for people that don't like church. Well, that's pretty crazy tonight. And so we see the church has been criticized, it's been generalized, and my goodness, then the church has been televised. It's amazing what we've seen by that of communication in the day and hour that we live. And the thing that is so sad, that's all that America knows about, is what's been televised. But then we also have to realize that the church has been desensitized. It seems like that it doesn't have a voice that it used to have in our communities. And certainly, lastly tonight, the church has been pressurized. It seems like that so much pressure has come upon the church to conform to the world and go to the world's standards. If you're not, then you've become mean, you've become hateful. But I've noticed, you know, people is going to hate. Haters are just going to hate. Somebody say amen. And so the truth is still the truth in the Word of God. Last week we looked about, now we see and we hear a lot about what's wrong with the church, but what does the Bible teach us about what's right about the church? You know, it's not very hard to hear what's wrong, but what's right about the church? And we spoke about four things last week. First of all, the church is based on the right person. I'm glad it's on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not founded upon the Pope. It's not founded upon a preacher. But it's founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung and died and shed His blood for our sins. And so it's based on the right person. But then we said, secondly, it's backed by the right power. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost is still right. And certainly, not everything. Now, note this. Everything that's right with the church is due to His leadership. Everything that's right about the church, it's due to the Spirit of God's leadership. And everything that's wrong with the church is due to our failure to follow His leadership. It's very important that we follow the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you this morning, as I began to read that text of what I wanted to preach, the Spirit of God told me, no, that's not what we need right now. And so we must realize, we must pull our head down, and we must become unprideful and be willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. A lot of times when the Lord's wanting you to stand up and testify, that's what you ought to do. Mind the Lord. If He's wanting you to go to somebody, tell them you love them, appreciate them, then mind the Lord. If He tells you to come to the altar and pray, then mind the Lord. The Spirit will never lead you wrong, but will always lead you right. So the things was that we said that was right was based on the right person, backed by the right power. We're bound by the right principle. This is still the Word of God, and it's still right. We don't need a new translation. The Lord left us the King James Bible for English-speaking people. It got Grandpa saved. It'll get our grandbaby saved tonight. And so it's built or bound by the right principle. And then we close with this thought. The church is built in the right place. It's in the world, but not of the world. Thank God that there can be light in a dark and a dying world. And so where would we be without the church? I remember one time a man come by, just the church building, this steeple. Brother Larry and Brother Rogers been so good to get this thing lit up. They put new bulbs in it for camp meeting. Me and Renee was leaving out. I turned around and said, honey, look at the new lighting they put on front of the church. It's beautiful. It promotes a testimony. And when you look up at that cross, this morning got ready to leave, there's a buzzard roosted up there. If I wasn't on radio, I'd say it needs to be shot off of there. Somebody say amen. But since I'm on radio, I said I wouldn't do that, but I got some church members that would. Somebody say amen. And so it's a testimony in this community. And so when we look back, I can remember a boy come in one day on a Sunday, and he said, Pastor, I don't know you, but I wanted to come in and tell you, I was going by the church property this weekend, and God dealt with my heart. And I went down the road, and I pulled over, and I got saved. And I just want to tell you, to come back and tell you that the Lord saved me, and just the influence of that church that's protruding in a dark and a desperate hour. Can I tell you tonight, the church is built in the right place. But let's look at these other four quick points tonight, and I'll be brief in what I do. First of all, I want to say the church is right because it's busy with the right program. Busy with the right program. Look at Matthew 28 and 19. Matthew 28 and 19. Now here, the church is to be busy with the right program. What is the right program for the church? Well, I believe we have a mission-minded God tonight. If God was not mission-minded, He'd never send His Son. But aren't you glad that God was interested in you and me? God was interested in sinners, so He sent His Son. So here, Jesus is teaching. In Matthew 28:16, He has the 11 disciples at hand. And He tells them this. That He went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But watch this. Some doubted. How in the world could there be 11 disciples and they've seen what the Lord has done and 11 worship Him, but some doubted Him? Reminds me, you can still be saved in doubt tonight. And so Jesus came and He spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. And look what your Bible says, and in earth. Go ye. That's me and you. That's the church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, hang on a minute, preacher. There's no way we can do that. Yes, sir. That's why we're involved in missions in this ministry. If you and I, we can't go across the waters, we can't go in other states, but we can support those that can and will go. And so He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now watch what the Bible says. Baptizing them in the name, singular, not plural. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, God is one God. But we see His three personalities there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We see the Trinity. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So what's right about the church? Well, I want to say the church is to be busy with the right program. You see, we should not give up, we should not shut up, and we should not let up. We should go until Jesus comes with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is to be busy with the right program. Secondly, the church is burdened with the right proclamation. Proclamation. We proclaim something. When our proclamation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see, we as a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is different than any leader that has ever lived. Muhammad, He lived and He died. Buddha, He lived and He died. But Jesus, He lived, He died, and He got up again on the third day. And that's our proclamation today. We serve a God like nobody else. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, He's still alive tonight. And so the church is burdened with the right proclamation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3. Here Paul is writing, and he's teaching them, he's telling them that, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins. Isn't that amazing that He died for our wickedness? According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. By the way, He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Everything the Lord ever had was borrowed. Everything. He borrowed a boat. He borrowed a donkey. He borrowed a lowly stable. But lastly, He borrowed a tomb. But honey, let me tell you, when He comes back, He ain't borrowing nothing. Jesus owns it all tonight. And so, He was buried and then He rose again the third day. Look, according to the Scriptures, and He was seen of Cephas or Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. So we're to be burdened with the right proclamation. Well, how important is the resurrection, preacher? Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. Here Paul says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Look at Hebrews 7:25 this evening. Hebrews 7:25, burdened with the right proclamation. Hebrews 7:25. Look what your Bible says here tonight. Wherefore, he is able. Who? The Lord Jesus. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's one way to heaven tonight. That is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have an infirmity. But the word of oath which was since the law maketh the Son, whom is consecrated forevermore. You say the church is to be busy with the right program. The church is to be burdened with the right proclamation. But thirdly tonight, the church is biblical with the right pastor. The church is biblical with the right pastor. Let's look in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We see here that Paul is writing and he laid down these doctrinal truths of a pastor. Said this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. What does the word bishop mean? That simply is a biblical word that in the Greek it means overseer. Pastor. Overseer. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Now tell me something tonight. How can a lady be a pastor of a local New Testament church when the writing is black and white tonight? The husband of one wife. Can I tell you that he is to be vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall in the reproach and the snare of the devil. And then in verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon or servant, being found blameless. Verse 11, even so must their wives. So that tells me that they must be a man. Their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we live in a day of great compromise. The Southern Baptist Church, last week, the president of the Southern Baptist Association identified with a lady evangelist. He authorized her, and so it's a big turmoil now that's going on in the Southern Baptist Church. You know, there's a lot of Southern Baptist churches that allow deacons to serve as a woman to serve as a deacon. That's unbiblical. And so what's happened, the world has turned to feminist. Do you hear me? And when the church turns to feminist, then they turn liberal. We're not squashing the Lord's quiet tonight, ain't it? You know something? The Bible's still right. It's still right. How could you go and sit under a woman preacher when it's unbiblical? It ought to bother you. And it ought to bother your children. And let's look at Paul's teachings here real briefly tonight. 1 Timothy 2 and 12. I wonder if now if I was... Let me show y'all something. 1 Timothy 2 and 12. Let's get this, verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor us of authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman didn't see was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. This is what I've always wondered. If I was a woman pastor of this church, and I was doing verse-by-verse teaching, Brother Adam, and I come across these scriptures, I wonder how I explain that. Well, I'll tell you how they explain it. They say the Bible don't mean what the Bible was written for. Not throwing rocks tonight. I'm just telling you it's black or white. And so the church is biblical with the right pastor. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:34. 1 Corinthians 14:34. I hope when I leave out of here and go to heaven that I've been able to teach this church the right kind of doctrine. Y'all put a woman preacher in here, I'm going to come back and hank you, amen? I'm going to jump out of your closet every time you get ready to go to church. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience as also in the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for women to speak in the church. I want to say something as your pastor tonight. I feel like it's fine for a woman to testify in the church, brag on how good God has been. But for a woman being in a leadership role in the church goes against the teachings of the Scripture in the Word of God. When our young boys reach the age, 10, 11, 12 years old, they don't need a woman teacher anymore. And that's why we need some young men to fill the gap. I hear a lot of times, Pastor, do you notice that it's so many women that's run the church? Well, I said, let me tell you why they run the church. Because it ain't enough sorry men to step up and do what God wants them to do. They lay at home, their wife comes to church. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. And yeah, I'm not saying that makes it right. But I'm saying we need some men to step up in leadership and be men. Busy with the right program, burdened with the right proclamation, biblical with the right pastor. Fourthly, it's right because it's the body of the right people. The body of the right people. This is the body of Christ. A lot of times, you know, I think about, and he won't mind me using this, y'all know Brother Dennis Hutchinson. Brother Dennis was in prayer room tonight. He's probably the quietest member that goes to this church. He don't ever say nothing. And somebody ragged him a little bit in prayer room and said, get Brother Dennis to calm down a little bit. He's way too loud tonight. But you know, we think about maybe members like that never say nothing. And a lot of times the devil may tell them that they're not needed. But let me ask you something. We don't think much about our elbow, do we? We think a lot about our hair, our face. Some of us do, some of us don't. Our teeth. We think about our hands, our fingernails, this clip looks good. But we don't think much about our elbow, do we? You ever hear anybody talk about, I worked on my elbow before I got ready to go to church? You say, well, it's not very important. Sure it is. Let me tell you something. Put your arm straight out. Let me see you get a bite off that hand without bending that elbow. Some of you's necks along, you could get over there. Amen. But you see, those parts of the body that seem so minor, they're so important. And the reason I say that, even though a man like Brother Dennis Houston don't say a lot, he's very important in this body. We need everybody. You know, it's amazing how that God can use you, and you don't even know how He's using you to be positive. And so here, I tell you what's right about the church. It's the body of the right people. Look at Ephesians 3 and 13 tonight. Ephesians 3 and 13. This is a good little Bible lesson. Somebody say amen. What's right about the church? Well, it's busy with the right program. It's burdened with the right proclamation. It's biblical, the right pastor. But lastly, it's the body of the right people. Ephesians 3, 13. Wherefore, Paul's writing, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our thought. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, those in the church, it's some that has went on and crossed over wherever. They're in heaven tonight. Don't wonder where they are. They're not out in purgatory. They're not in some holding area. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, heaven or hell is your home. Whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. Brother Randall talked about what is love today. You know, that's so true. You sit under the tree with your wife, hold hands, and leave, and you want to be there more than where you're going. Brother Randall, you was talking about that this morning. I got thinking when I was dating Miss Renee, driving from Murfreesboro, Tennessee to Bowden. It's about 240 miles, and when I'd pull out of that driveway, how my heart fell in the floorboard going on. So it is with Christ. Oh, there is a love that passes all understanding tonight. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Brother Chris prayed something tonight. Did you catch his prayer? God, would you do big things that would astound us? Well, let me tell you, our God can still do it tonight. I'm glad that we don't have to pull out the minutes and read about what God used to do, honey. God's still doing it tonight. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all. Watch. That we ask this get real big. Or think. According to the power that now worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all the ages of the world without end. Amen. What's right about the church, preacher? I know in the world's eyes there's a lot that's wrong. But the Bible tells us that we're right because we're busy with the right program. Thank God for missions. We're burdened with the right proclamation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're proclaimed that Jesus lives. We're biblical with the right pastor. We're a body of the right people, the called out ones. May God let our light shine. May God allow our life to be salt. In this old world, to keep down decay in this wicked and adulterous generation. Thank you for being